الرحمن الرحيم. الشعر رفع بلاغ الشيخ عارف بالله رومي وقت الشيخ حكيم ومد اختصر دام الله في ظهر. The title is نہیں آتے نظر لیکن پرے پرواز آہوں کے. محبت تیرا صدقہ ہے سمر ہے تیرے نازوں کے جو میں یہ نشر کرتا ہوں خزانے تیرے رازوں کے محبت تیرا صدقہ ہے سمر ہے تیرے نازوں کے جو میں یہ نشر کرتا ہوں خزانے تیرے رازوں کے زمین پر ہے مگر کیا رابطہ ہے عرش اعظم سے زمین پر ہے مگر کیا رابطہ ہے عرش اعظم سے نہیں آتے نظر لیکن پرے پرواز آہوں کے نہیں آتے نظر لیکن پرے پرواز آہوں کے جدھر دیکھو فدا ہے عشق پانی حسن فانی پر جدھر دیکھو فدا ہے عشق فانی حسن فانی پر فدا اللہ پر ہے قلب و جان اللہ والوں کے فدا اللہ پر ہے قلب و جان اللہ والوں کے تجھے دھوکا نہ دے فانی بتوں کی عارضی رنگت کہیں دھوکا نہ دے فانی بتوں کی عارضی رنگت کبھی دیکھو گے تم خبروں میں اب تر حال لاشوں کے کبھی دیکھو گے تم قبروں میں اب تر حال لاشوں کے جو اہل دل کے جوتوں سے لگے ہیں خاک کے ذرے جو اہل دل کے جوتوں سے لگے ہیں خاک کے ذرے شرف حاصل ہے ان کو موتیوں پر تاج شاہوں کے شرف حاصل ہے ان کو موتیوں پر تاج شاہوں کے چمن میں جیسی ہوتی ہے نادل کی پذیرائی چمن میں جیسی ہوتی ہے نادل کی پذیرائی کہیں وہ مرتبے ہے سہے کہیں وہ مرتبے ہوتے ہیں صحراؤں میں زاغوں کے کہیں وہ مرتبے ہوتے ہیں صحراؤں میں زاغوں کے وہ سب کے ساتھ رہ کر بھی خدا کے ساتھ رہتے ہیں وہ سب کے
ساتھ رہ کر بھی خدا کے ساتھ رہتے ہیں، مگر کچھ اہل دل ہی آشنا ہے ایسے رازوں کے، مگر کچھ اہل دل ہی آشنا ہے ایسے رازوں کے۔ وہ کرگس جو کسی مردے پہ ہوتا ہے فدا اختر، وہ کرگس جو کسی مردے پہ ہوتا ہے فدا اختر، وہ کیا جانے کہ کیا رتبے ہے ان کے شاہبازوں کے، وہ کیا جانے کہ کیا رتبے ہے ان کے شاہبازوں کے۔ محبت تیرا صدقہ ہے، سمر ہے تیرے نازوں کے، جو میں یہ نشر کرتا ہوں خزانے تیرے رازوں کے۔ جو اہل دل کے جوتوں سے لگے ہیں خاک کے ذروے، شرف حاصل ہے ان کو موتیوں پر تاج شاہوں کے۔ محبت تیرا صدقہ ہے، سمل ہے تیرے نازوں کے، جو میں یہ نشر کرتا ہوں خزانے تیرے رازوں کے۔
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، احمدہ و نصلی علی رسول الکریم، اما بعد، حضرت مفتی علی بھائی لورگت صاحب السلام وبرکاتہ مسٹر وز ٹو دا پروگرام، آئی تھنک ہی فونڈ ہی واز کوٹ ان دا ٹریفک، ان شاء اللہ وی جسٹ ویٹ ویل ہی کمز، جسٹ ٹاکنگ ان مائی مائنڈ سم آف اشعار فرام حضرت رکیم صاحب السلام وبرکاتہ ریگارڈنگ موت ڈیتھ، جسٹ ٹو ریمائنڈ آور سیلف، وی کیپ نیڈ، وی آلویز نیڈ اے ریمائنڈر where our final abode is in the Ashar also, which was read now. Hazrat mentions there that when we look at ourselves, think of ourselves in the qabr, when a person is leaving this world, tujhe dhoka na de fani buto ki arzi rangat, do not be deceived by the beautiful outside of this woman, which is very temporary. Kabhi dekho ge tum qabron mein abtar halat lash, abtar hal lashon ki. Soon you will see and they will be in a qabr. And what a condition they will be. Nobody will ever want to look at them again. Do not be deceived by the outside clutter and glamour of this world. Recently I read one incident, a very beautiful incident, of one person by the name of Mutrif ibn Shikhir, rahimahullah. So he one day, he was walking past the Qabristan. It was Thursday night, and whilst walking past, he saw some people coming out of the Qabr. Allah Ta'ala sometimes opens to people, exposes so that they can take lesson. So he saw the people walking, they were all naked, and there were men and women there. So he made salam to them, nobody answered him. So he became a bit surprised, he went closer, and then he again, he heard them speaking among themselves, and one of them said that, you know, this is Mutrif ibn Shakhir. So he was even more surprised. First, they're not answering my salam. And secondly, they know my name, they know my father's name also. So then he went, he asked them, who are you all? They say, no, we actually, the people who have passed away, we are coming out this Thursday night tonight, we are looking for people who are sending amal for us, sending some good deeds for us, we are in need of this. So he says that, you don't have any clothing. So they say, our clothing has come to an end now. We need more clothing, we want people to send amal for us, our children, family members, nobody is sending for us. So we are looking for these things. So So he says that, aren't you feeling shy and ashamed? We're all naked in front of one another. So they say, by the pangs of death is so severe and the worries and the problems under here that nobody worries about looking at anybody else. So actually, if this is in our minds, when these beautiful women are walking past, if one day have to face Allah Ta'ala, like it was a reality, then this don't even affect the person. You don't even want to look at that woman. So he says that, he asked him that you never reply to my salam. He said, you know, if you could make one salam, if you could make that one salam, he would have given you the salam. That one salam is more valuable to us in the whole world and whatever it contains. Because now we can see the reward there, down there. And we take something for granted, I mean, a salam to a person. But he said, this one salam is more valuable than the whole world and whatever it contains. If only we could answer your salam, we would have done it. But here in the qabr now, all our amal have come to an end, all our actions have come to an end. You can't make salam, you can't answer a person. So anyhow, he spoke to them a few other points, and then he was leaving. So he asked them what, so they said, please, before you leave, we just want to tell you one thing. Next week, Jummah, you're giving a Jummah bayan. So when you're giving a bayan, tell the people that they mustn't forget us. We are in the qabr, they mustn't forget us. Today you got love for your child, you got love for your parents, for your wife. See, but these are all things of dhoka and deception. For a while a person, the wife will cry for you so much, my husband passed away. But after 6 months she forgot you also. Sometimes she might get married to somebody else. A new person is staying in the house now. She forgot you. She'll remember you once. The children, they'll cry the way they'll cry when you pass away. But after 3 months, 4 months, their thought leaves the person. They'll think about you on each day. They'll make some dua for you. But they haven't got time much to think of a person. And if a person, example, Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah mentioned this point, he says, if you've got money, a lot of wealth, a lot of times people say, you know, when you're living, you'd rather give everything away, distribute it. So Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah, in his amana, he wrote, he said, don't do it in today's times. Don't distribute your money. He said, the same children will kick you away. Your same children who you're giving everything to, the minute they got that money, they don't need you, they'll kick you away. So he said, I'm giving you advice in today's amana, today's time, don't give everything away also. But the child now, he's got that inheritance money, he's forgotten his father also. Maybe once in a week, or once in a month, or once in a year, he'll remember his father. So what you have taken in the qabr, that is actually what's going to help a person. What's outside, very little but people will send to you. They might send little but, they might think about you little but here and there. But generally people forget you. So the person told him, these people in the qabr, they said, you know what, please tell our family members, they mustn't forget us. They must remember us, come and visit us, and send amal for us. And second thing is, they mustn't forget themselves. Because they must remember that tomorrow they are also coming inside here. So remind them that they mustn't forget themselves. So you go and tell our family members this on the Jummah and Jummah Bayan. So anyhow, this was that incident which I had mentioned in the some kitabs. So it's a lot of lesson for us. See, that we mustn't forget our reality, where we're going. This is the reality. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single person has to taste death. We all have to leave this world. But the main thing is, how did we leave this world? And our Hazrat always mentions, that تَمُوتُونَ كَمَا تَحْيُونَ. You will die as you had loved. وَتُحْشَرُونَ كَمَا تَمُوتُونَ. You will be resurrected as you have passed away. So the main thing is, how are we going to leave this world? And a person must have this fikr. And as you live in this world, this is how a person will die. So if we look at our own lives and see how many incidents we've got of people and what evil way they've passed away. And on the other hand, mashallah, some people, what ajeeb ways they've passed away. And it's a rush, a person feels so happy and he actually desires that Allah has given me such a mort like this year. See, it's mentioned about Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nabi Rahmatullah, what a great alim. At the time when he was passing away, the last few days, the month, he was reading Yasin 5 times, 6 times a day he was reading Yasin Sharif. In the month of Ramadan, it was an odd night also he passed away. What a mubarak death. There was a person from South Africa, a normal businessman, not a big alim, big Sufi, anything like that. So he used to sell calendars, Islamic calendars. He used to go and suffer. Many people might be knowing him also. He used to come around to Heidelberg. He used to come and... Murana Khatib from Durban, he was his son. So he went for Umrah. He was a very jolly person. If you meet him, he's like a normally ordinary person. So he went for Umrah and he took all his whole family with him. Everybody must come. So when they went, his daughter-in-laws, his sons, his daughters, everybody, his grandchildren, everybody went for Umrah. He went for Umrah. It was the day of Jumu'ah. They put on Ihram. After Asr Namaz, they were making the Umrah. So anyhow, he started making Tawaf of Kaaba Sharif. After making Tawaf, he went behind Maqam Ibrahim, and it is Asr, Friday, in Ihram, sitting there, making dua, he passed away. He saw this left the body. Allah knows, heart attack, whatever, but his mort was written there. A normal, ordinary person, you only regard him as somebody great. What a mort. And they mentioned, some of the ulama after that, they wrote about his life. They see two outstanding qualities he had within him. One is, he was very, very particular and a lot of love for Quran Sharif. Whenever he used to get opportunity, he quoted Quran Sharif. He had a lot of love for Quran Sharif. And the other outstanding quality of his was that his business dealings, he was very, very fair in his business dealings, very proper. He was very particular with his business dealings. He wouldn't ever deceive anybody. Money to pay on time, he would pay on time. He was very, very particular about that day. So because of this, yeah, what are the most Allah Ta'ala give you? In Makkah Mukarrama, after Asr on a Jummah, in Ihram, making dua, so many virtues, one upon the other. And his whole family was there for his janazah also. So what a most Allah Ta'ala has given him. And we saw our Ustaz, Hazrat Qari Ismail Sahib, rahmatullahi alayh, how he passed away also the last night of his life. He taught the kitab. His whole life he lived for that. So he passed away in that way. He taught the kitab, he made dua, he had a ghusl. And smilingly, he passed away. He recited the kalima. 1-2 days before that, he had seen his asatiza, Muslim Ahmad Sahib, rahmatullahi alayh, and asatiza of his, had come to see, had come to fetch you, etc. So this is Allah Ta'ala gives that basharat, the glad tidings. When on Qasim Ali Sahib, rahmatullahi alayh, what a mort he had. His whole life was da'wat. So he gave da'wat, he gave the Jummah bayan, he sat down after Jummah, his soul left his body, and he passed away in this condition. So what wonderful mort. They mention of one person, he was very, very, a lot of love, time for his mother also. So at the time of his mort, his mother was sitting next to him. And while she's sitting next to him, she's making dua for him. And he's happy, and he says, I can actually see the angels. I can see them coming down. He says, they're coming to fetch me. And in this way, a person leaves. And this is a normal, ordinary person also. And he leaves the dunya in this way. Yeah. So what wonderful mort. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those people. We should always have this fikr and concern. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala, we'll get such a mort. And on the other hand, we should always have this fear also. It must not be that we are of those people. Outwardly, we are on deen. But our inside is so filthy, so full of wrong. And we leave this world in an evil way. There was one person, this doctor writes, he's written one kitab. So he says, I decided to make a survey. So 100 people, I did a survey on them. When these 100 people passed away, only 3 of them read Kalima and passed away. 97 of them passed away without Kalima. It doesn't mean they passed away without Iman. But they say 97 of them passed away without reading the Kalima. Only 3 of them recited the Kalima. And then he mentions different incidents of different people, how they passed away. Let's mention one. He says there's one youngster. He was going through such severe pain. Never in my life I saw a person suffering. A youngster he was. So I asked him, his father came to me. His father said, you know, I can't manage. My son is suffering so much. Please rather give him an injection and kill him. So I told the father, you know, we can't do this. Islamically it's not permissible. It's haram. We can't kill somebody. But tell me, is there any guna that he has done, any sin he has done, that he's been through so much of punishment? I've never in my life seen a person suffering so much. They actually had to remove him from that ward, because all the patients in the whole ward, the whole section of the hospital couldn't sleep. He said his whole veins were showing, his whole things were coming out here, and it was a very, very bad sight. So the father said, you know, this boy here used to actually hit his mother. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that if you want punishment before leaving this world, disrespect your parents, katiyatu, breaking ties with your parents, causing harm to them. He said, because of this action here, that is what I today, I can see Allah Ta'ala sending this punishment upon him. May Allah give myself and all of us tawfiq, that we prepare for akhirat, we prepare for more. And the main thing is the dua we should continuously make. Allah must let us leave this world in a good condition. This is the greatest thing, and not to live in a evil condition. Allah give us tawfiq.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاء والأكم روح الفداء لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Friends, I have been commanded to sit in front of you, and I am the least worthy of it. Nevertheless, just obeying the command, decided to read one of the bayans of our illustrious Sheikh Arif Billah, Hazrat Shah Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib Madazil Ali. This was a bayan which was delivered at the previous, not the one that passed a month ago, the Islahi Jalsa that passed last year. And we can see Hazrat's concern that restlessly, tirelessly, without any rest, all the time, traveling, going place to place, inviting people towards the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and trying to instill into the hearts of the people the importance of Islam. Even the Ijtima that took place a month ago, and we can see this month in, month out, week in, week out, wherever Hazrat's bayan is, his plea, his cry, his concern, that is his compassion for us. Hazrat did not need to do this, but compassion for us. And I'm still trying to make myself understand that I'm coming here week in and week out. What is the object? Why am I coming? And unless I still haven't understood, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our Shaykh jazai khair and really bless him with the highest stages and accept all his khidmat. That is compassion for us, that how we can be, or we can also get included, how this burning fire, this flame of love that he has got, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has got in his heart, how he can transfer it into our hearts as well, how we can also become the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat said that at that istima, he was discussing the importance of Islah. And he said that we will discuss what Islah and Tasawwuf is about, and what tazkiyah nafs is. As Hazrat always reads the ayat of Quran Sharif in which the functions of Risalat are mentioned, the functions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had completed of reciting Quran Sharif and showing it in a practical way, and then reforming his companions, the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, and through them the Ummah to come till the day of Qiyamah. So Hazrat said that we will discuss what Islah and Tasawwuf is. Because many of us, many a time, we think that Tasawwuf is the name of some, you know, alien or something that we cannot understand, we cannot comprehend. He said, we'll discuss what Tasawwuf is, what Tazkiyah Nafs is, and this is repeatedly mentioned in Quran Sharif. Last week, as Hazrat said, that time was in Marlborough, and while leaving, and Hazrat Maulana Daya Sahib, who is a close and dear friend of our Hazrat Wala, he said to Hazrat that tazkiyah, that is self-reformation, is absolutely important. But people are very unaware of it. People are unmindful of it. And he said that I have fear for those people who die without tazkiyah. From this we can understand how important it is and what the cry of our Hazrat Wala is. And even the Ahlullah, all of them, what they cry is that how people can reform themselves and how people can become the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we always hear from the teaching of our Hazrat Wala, when he recites the ayat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that the object that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world, yes, we'll have our responsibilities, we'll have to look after our families, etc. We'll have to lead a normal life and go about our daily routine. But what is the object? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us into this world? Is it to wake up 7 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever the case may be, come back 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, and then being very, very happy and gleeful that, you know, today I was so busy that I didn't even have time to eat, I didn't even have time to go to the toilet, the lunch that the wife gave, that he took with him to work, he brought it back home, the children enjoyed it at home, and he is happy that, you know, today I was so busy that I didn't even have time to eat. And as our Hazrat Wala says, then what are you working for? This is not why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this dunya liya'budun, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to glorify and to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this recognition which is in the heart of our Hazrat, he wants it to come into the hearts of all of us. So Mulana Daya Sahib, who is a close friend of Hazrat, said that I fear for those people who die without having done their tazkiyah. And Hazrat says that this shows the importance of tazkiyah. If tazkiyah is not made, then such a person will be in a very, very dangerous situation and a very dangerous position at the time of mort. And Hazrat Torah then goes on to explain, he says that our deen is divided into two parts. But in reality, it is only one part. And we all know the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, which is very, very generally known, popularly known, where a traveler came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in were sitting there. He said that we didn't see any sign of travel on this person. That his hair was neatly combed, it was groomed, his clothes were clean. Normally if a person is to travel from far, then you'll see the effects of travel on him. Dusty clothes, or he's restless, he's tired. But this person came well composed, hair well groomed, clothes very, very neat. And yet Medina Sharif was not a big city. Everybody knew one another. The Sahaba said that we did not recognize this person, so we're very, very surprised that he's a stranger, we don't know him, but he's well groomed, there's no signs of journey upon him. He came and he sat very, very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so close that his knees touched the Mubarak knees of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he held the thighs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Sahaba ikram said that we became very, very astonished that a strange person led us in this audacity, how he comes and sits like, and then he asked three questions. So the first was, what is Iman? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he testified to it. He said that what you said is correct. Sahaba said that we were very surprised now. Stranger came, asks a question. After asking the question, he testifies, he sort of certifies that answer that what you have said is correct. If you knew the question answer, then why did you ask the question? Second question he asked, what is Islam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave that you should read salah and keep fast and pay zakat and make all actions which pertain to the outward body. And again he said that what you have answered is correct. And then the third one he asked that what is ihsan? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way as if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you cannot bring this into your mind, then realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful over you, Allah is watching you. And again he said that what you said is correct, and then he left. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, asked the Sahaba that do you know who this person was? They said no. He said this is your brother Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So from this hadith we can see that he asked a few questions. One pertained to Iman, which concerns the heart. And then the second question was, what is Islam? And this pertained to actions. So the answer that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave was all actions, whether physical or monetary, but which are carried out outwardly. So Hazrat says that our deen is divided into two parts. But in reality, it is only one part. One part is called Sharia. And Sharia is the outward form of tasawuf. All our salat, our zakat, our rozas, our hajj, all our actions of deen, which we call Sharia, the laws of deen, this is the outward part of tasawuf. And this comprises, as we said, salat, zakat, fasting, etc. And the internal tasawuf is termed as Islah. The first, the outward, with all our actions, that is Sharia, the laws of Sharia, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, the laws which have been laid down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The outward actions, this is the outward part of tasawuf. And the inward part, the inner of tasawuf, regards Islah, self-reformation, that is to reform the heart, because the heart is the most important. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, Hazrat quoted this hadith sharif, that Allah inna fil jasadi la mudgha, that definitely take heed and note that there is a piece of flesh in the body. If this piece of flesh is correct, then the entire body will be correct. This means that the body will be correct if tazkiyah of the heart is made. Hazrat said that our deen is divided into two portions. One is dependent on the other. One is the outward, one is the inward. The outward are the laws of Sharia, and the inward is the heart. And the reformation of the heart, this is most important. The salah of a person will be correct, his eyes will be under control, and all the other aspects of deen will also be correct. And wallahi, I say this, that we studied, just passed our time in some institution, came back with big pieces of paper, certificates that Maulana and Mufti, whatever.
But we did not realize what Salah is until we sat at the foot of Hazrat Ghulam. I didn't realize what Qurbani is, and up till now, I fail in my duty. I cannot carry it out the way Hazrat Wala wants us to do it. That the inner core, the feeling, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Sharif, that it is not the flesh and the blood of the animal that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is Allah going to do with it? Allah is the creator of that animal. But the feeling, وَلَكِيَّنَا لُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ, that feeling, that fervor, that keenness, that eagerness, that zeal, that importance that a person lends to this ibadah, that is what reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what our Hazrat Wala taught us, and this is what Hazrat Wala is saying, that is the inner tasawuf. The tasawuf of the heart, to create that feeling and that fervor in the heart, that what I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I asked the children in madrasa also the other day, that when we stand up to read our salah, and this is the teaching of our Hazrat Wala, that how many of us really, I'm lacking in this, and I'm addressing myself, that when we come to the masjid, that I'm coming here because it is the command of my Allah. That what we're going to do, go up and down, and in Zohar 12 times, and in Isha 17 times, and Fajr 4 times, up, whatever the case may be. But I'm going, are we just doing it as routine? I'm going to teach at the madrasa every day. Am I going to do this to impart the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the children so that they can become friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or am I just going there that at the end of the month I'm going to get my check, and it's just a duty? So everything that we are doing, this is the tasawuf, that inner feeling, that eagerness to build that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whatever we do, whether it pertains to any thought of the heart, or it pertains to any of our actions which can be seen outwardly. A person reads salah, you can see him that he's doing a few actions, he's keeping fast. If he makes it known that other people are eating, they invite him, he says, no, I'm fasting. It's something that it's tangible, you can comprehend it. A person is paying zakat, if somebody sees, you can see the exchange of money, or he's gone for hajj, booked a ticket, got his visa, is gone for hajj, for umrah, whatever the case may be, he boarded the flight. These are actions that you can see. But the feeling that goes behind it. A person believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as our Hazrat Wala always says, that is Allah just a five-letter word in our life, A-L-L-A-H, or is Allah a loving being in our life? That to build that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to build that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is actual tasawuf. So if the heart of a person is bad, then the entire body will be bad, and everything will go wrong. And then Hazrat Wala gives a beautiful example, and makes us understand, that if a tree is not bearing fruit, and the branches are drying up, then even the most foolish and stupid person in the world, he won't go and put fertilizer and compost on the branches and on the leaves, or put water on the leaves, start washing the leaves, to say that now this tree will start growing. He knows that the roots have to be fixed up. And fixing the roots, this is of utmost importance, and this is the crux of the tasawuf. That all our actions, as I said, that what did we know, what is salah, what is udhiyah, qurbani, hajj, etc. But when we'll build this bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll sit in the company of the ahlullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will ignite that flame in our hearts, then all these actions, which are so to say the branches and the leaves, that when we will fix that root, and we'll fix the heart, and we'll build that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all these outward things, the leaves and the branches and everything will come right. Islah al-nafs is to reform and to mend the heart. And then Hazrat said, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi said, that leave alone ordinary people, the awamun nas. Even learned people are unmindful of making islah of the heart, of self-reformation. Said many people have outwardly just corrected a few things, like wearing a topi, a kurta, a beard, etc. Then they feel that now we are all right, now we are in deen. If we are performing our five times daily salah over that, then to a greater extent we become lax and we feel now that I am in deen. I'm going out for 3 days in a month in Jamaat. I'm coming to the majlis every week. I'm going to teach at madrasa. The little bit more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to do, then we become fooled by this and we think that, no, I am in deen. And then we start looking down upon others, that look at them. How far, how can they do so? Not least realizing that one day And even right up till now, one day there was a time when I was worse than him. And now through the barakat of our Hazrat Wala and through their concern and their worry and their du'as, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a little bit of understanding. And even in that situation, the person that we are looking down upon may be far closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and definitely is, as Mullah Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi used to daily address himself taking his name. And, oh Ashraf Ali, from all the believers of the world, you are the worst. And according to Ma'al, according to time of maut, you are worse than even a dog or even a pig. Because you do not know if you are going to leave this world with Iman. So a little bit we come into a deen, a little bit outward action that we bring into ourselves and then we get fooled. The main thing is to work on the root, on the heart of oneself and to rectify and reform this, to make Islah of this, and then everything will come right. He said, however, Hazrat said, that we get fooled with those outward actions of ours. And we are not concerned of the quality of the salah which we are performing. We are not worried of the condition of the heart. We are not worried of our Islah, our self-reformation. If the women folk are wearing hijab or burqa or performing 5 times daily salah, then they feel that they are alright. And yet, this is only the starting point. We are generally fooled by these things. And this is like a nursery school for little kids, but these days giving fancy names, the toddlers' universities. And when the child graduates from kindergarten, now he completes that year, then a graduation cap is put onto the child's head, and the child feels that I have graduated. I have already reached my goal, least realizing that you are only starting. You just completed kindergarten, you still got a long way to go. We've just put on the topi, the dari, the kurta, just wore the hijab, or started reading salah, whatever. And we feel that we have come into deen already. But we don't realize that this is just the starting point, we still have got a long way to go. Similarly, we are also fooled by outer things. As it says, that our mashayikh, who have understood the reality of things, they were very, very particular regarding their murids. Leave alone the aspect of blessing. Even outward actions such as nawafil, optional salah, they were not permitted to do this until the internal rectification, until the internal Islah was done. Just last week, Hazrat Mawlana Musa Sahib gave the example of that person, that alim who came into the khanqah of Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayh and tried to do amar bin ma'roof, and then Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayh called him and made his Islah and explained to him the conditions of amar bin ma'roof. And then explain to him the reason why he felt he was better than the other person. Because you are making a little bit of dhikr, because you are reading a bit more salah, whatever the case may be. So stop him even from that. Now we from the outside, we are going to say that stopping him from taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stopping him from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these are the spiritual doctors. When we go to a doctor, if he tells you to take 5 tablets of a kind at one time, then you're not going to question him. Or if he tells you to stop a certain medication that you are taking, then that also you're not going to question. You leave yourself to him, and as he prescribes and as he diagnoses, you will accept. So in this way, let alone outward actions, sometimes even optional and nawafil salah, etc., they would stop you from doing it so that the Islah of the heart could be done. That when the Islah of the heart, when the person has been reformed, when Islah takes place, then all these things will come into place automatically. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyasab rahmatullah alayhi, one time was sending out a jamaat of ulama in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he told them that your turbans, your amamas, leave them behind here. Leave it as amanat with me. And when you return, I will give it back to you. Because when you will go out and you will have these turbans and these amamas on your head, then you're going to think that you are very, very pious. You are going to become fooled with this outward thing. So leave it behind, I'll keep it here as amanat, and I won't misappropriate it. When you come back, I will return it to you. The outward form fools a person, and like myself, we are fooled by these things. And then people calling you Mufti Sahab, and people saying Hazrat, and people saying this and that, we become fooled by these things. So the outward form fools a person many a times, and he thinks himself to be a good person. And he thinks himself that he has been spiritually rectified and reformed already. But we hardly know what it is to be spiritually rectified. What is the meaning of Islam? What it means to become an insan? What it means to become a man? Just today in Madrasa, again talking to the boys, I told them that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu ta'ala, then it says Rijal, that those were men. And yet we are all men. We all have 2 feet, we all have 2 hands, 2 eyes, 2 ears, we all eat, we all sleep, etc. We wake up in the morning, we do whatever we need to do. And this is what they did also. They were men, meaning they were men of metal. They had qualities in them. They realized why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them into this world. They realized the object of the creation, the purpose why we were sent in this world, they realized. So many a times we just have these outward things and we feel that we are already reformed, we feel that we are in deen, we feel that Islam has already taken place. But we are, like Hazrat gave the example of the child in the kindergarten, that he's just completed the year but he feels I've already graduated. Comes home running with that certificate, and yet there's still a long way to go. Some people feel that Islam of the nafs is beneficial, it is something good. But very, very few people, as it says, realize that it is not only good, it is necessary, it is incumbent, it is obligatory. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi said that we do not regard it as part of our aqidah. The fault falls within us is here, that we do not regard our Islam as part of our aqidah, that we have to make our Islam. Therefore, we don't worry about it, we don't give it its due importance, we don't show concern towards it. And we become less when it comes to the matter of our Islam. And he says, Hazrat says that very, very sadly today, tasawwuf also has become just customary. And many people, they take bread and there is no follow-up. Like our Hazrat Mullah Abdul Qadir Sahib Madhizullah Ali from Harrismith always says, that bread hokar, baith jata. That after taking bread, we just sit down and sit back and think that that was the objective. We do not follow up, there is no contact with the Shaykh, we do not give ittila, we do not inform of our condition, etc. So we do not even think of our Islam. Whereas concern of a person's Islam has to be a continuous effort, right up till mort. Which great Shaykh, which great Alim said, that this is a continuous kushti, as a wrestling bout, a wrestling match between nafs and myself. Sometimes he overpowers me, sometimes I overpower him, and this is going to be a wrestling match, a wrestling bout, right up till death. Right up till mouth. How Hazrat mentions of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, that at the time of mouth, how he was going into semi-consciousness and coming out again, and as his sons were making talqeen for him and saying, trying to make him read, he was saying, not as yet, not yet, not yet. And when he came back into consciousness, so the sons asked him, Abba, we are making talqeen and you are saying, he says, Shaitan comes to me and he tells me that, oh Ahmad, you have saved yourself. As much as I tried, but you made so much khidmat of deen, you became such a great imam, you're such a great alim, you did this, you did that. And then I say to him, that not yet. Not yet. Not until my last breath leaves. Hazrat Yusuf ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wa salam, ulul azam, nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, great nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, wa ma ubarri wa nafsi. I cannot trust my nafs. I cannot trust my carnal desires, my passions, my egos. I cannot trust it. In the nafs, la ammaratum bisu. That this nafs is ammara. It's not just amir. It's not just, it doesn't just give you a command. This is ammara. Like Hazrat Allah says also beautifully, that shaitan hasn't got the time to all the time be behind one person. He's got so many people to worry about. He comes, he puts a thought in the mind and he's gone. Nafs is that the enemy of ours, that when a thought comes into your mind, now it will start plotting, planning, scheming, trying to plot and plan that how will I execute this objective of mine, how will I achieve my aim, etc. So, we always, these days, that has also just become customary. We don't worry about our nafs, we don't worry about our self-reformation, and I'm talking about myself, that I chose this kitab, that as we will read, then I will address myself. So, we become bad, and then there's no follow-up. And we do not even think of our Islam. Whereas the concern of one's Islam, the worry about one's reformation, is a continuous effort which will continue right up to death. In the Hadith Sharif, Hazrat says, we are taught a dua. By who? By Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not by any sheikh, not by any mufti or alim, or somebody, not by any wali, by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He makes his dua, Ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. That, oh, the changer of hearts, keep my heart firm upon your deen. This shows that the heart of a person can change at any time. That is why we are taught to make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must keep us steadfast on the deen. And further, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, Ya Musarrif al-Qulub, Sarrif qalbi ala ta'atik. That, oh, the turner of hearts, turn my heart towards your obedience. This is the dua that should be made daily. And the reality of it should come into our lives. And we should be conscious of it. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua, and taught us to make this dua, how much more should we be concerned? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, standing up at night, in Nafal Salah, till the feet swelled, that Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, when he came to call him for Fajr Salah, he had to weep and cry and say, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why do you exert yourself so much? He said, afala akuna abdan shakura, shouldn't I become then a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If my Allah is so compassionate, so merciful, etc. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so concerned, then how much more should we be concerned? How much more should we learn this dua, make this dua, and realize the reality of this dua, learn the meaning of it, and make it regularly. Today many, many, Hazrat says, many, many great personalities have also gone off this great path. We do not know when we can go off this great path. Who was it? I think it was Imam Sufyan Thawri, rahmatullah alayhi, or some great buzur, who said that his back became bent like a bow. And when people asked him that in this young age, you were like an old man, he said that I saw two great awliya, two great mashayikh who had passed away on Nasraniyat, on Kufr. At the time of death, they went astray. So I'm worried about that time. Like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi, he said that not yet, I'm worried about that last moment. And Hazrat always gives that example of that one muazzin, who was muazzin in a masjid for so many years, but when somebody saw him for Hajj and Umrah, then at the multazam he was crying and making only one dua. That, oh Allah, take my life with iman. And when the time comes, that I must leave with iman. A person passing there said to him that there are so many other duas you can make. You're making only one dua all the time. He says, well, you don't know my condition. That I had a brother who was a muazzin of a masjid for 30 years. And at the time of maut, he asked for Quran Sharif. And everybody got happy and thought that asking for, but when the Quran Sharif was brought, he said, I've got nothing to do with this thing. And today I'm dying on the religion of the Yahud. And then he said, I had another brother. The same thing happened. For how many years? Also 30 or 40 years he was muazzin in a masjid. And the time of maut came, then he also asked for Quran Sharif. And he said, the whole life I was muazzin at this masjid. And today I've got nothing to do with this. I'm dying on the religion of Nasraniyah. So he says, I'm worried about myself. Like that, the Imam who became hunchback, his back became bent, and this person, because he saw two of his brothers leaving the dunya without iman, how much more should we be concerned? And that the concern should be with us all the time. Some people even get involved in bid'at. We think we are in deen, and then we start doing things for which there is no basis in deen. Others have inclined towards Salafism, and these are our ulama who are ahl haq, who are mashayikh and who are khulafa of great people. Yet they went astray. From this we can understand that a person has to be constantly conscious of his Islam, of his reformation, and this should be a worry and concern with him all the time. It will be difficult in the qabr for a dies without having made his Islam. And Hazrat says that to understand the importance of Islam, we will give a few examples. And this is the really beautiful way of our Hazrat Wala, who makes us understand with simple, simple examples. Says to understand the importance of this Islam that we are coming week in, week out, month in, month out for so long. We come to Hazrat Wala, and Hazrat Wala has got this burning desire that how our Islam can be made. And says to understand the importance of this Islam, let me give you a few examples. Says in the Hadith Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is reported that the fire of Jahannam will be kindled with an alim, a generous person and a mujahid. Now these three people, an alim who propagated the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taught it to others, imparted knowledge, a mujahid, he gave his life on the battlefield, the highest price that a person can pay, a generous person, whatever Allah blessed him with, he spent it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people had done great work. The mujahid spent his entire life in jihad. The wealthy person, he spent generously in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the alim, he learned deen, he taught it to others, but Islam was not done. So, they did not have ikhlas. So the fire of Jahannam will be kindled with these three people. We should not think of ourselves as ulama and generous people. when these people serve deen so greatly, and this will be their final result, what will our condition be? In Urdu they say, hum kis khet ki mooli hai? We are the reddish of which farm? We are just a number. If this can be the situation with such great people, then how much more concerned should we be with regarding ourselves? So even though a person has served the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will have to go to Jahannam because he did not make Islam of his heart. He did not do tazkiyah, he did not have his reformation done, and he did not have his Islam done. Similarly to this, it is also mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that on the day of Qiyamah, there will be people who will have markings on their forehead because of their tahajjud salah, because of their nafal salah, they will have the marks on their foreheads. And in other words, we will say that these people were extremely pious, but the angels will be grabbing them and throwing them headlong into the fire of Jahannam. Why? Because these people, they use deen for the sake of dunya. They use their deen to acquire worldly possessions. They have carried out different activities of deen to show others. Many ulama used to come to Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayh, and Hazrat always mentions this, and as he mentions in this bayan as well, and they used to say to Mawlana bin Nuri rahmatullah alayh, that we have opened a Darul Noom, and Hazrat would respond and say, oh, so you have also opened up a shop now. Outwardly, he's opened up a madrasa, he's opened up a Darul Noom, he's going to impart knowledge of deen. Darul Noom, a place where tazkiyah can be done, where the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be propagated. Yet Hazrat is saying to them, that, oh, so you have also opened up a shop now. Outwardly, deen is being presented, but dunya is intended. I will get my salary from here, and my livelihood will become easy. When one's intention is not sincere, then this is a very, very serious matter. And whether he is running a Darul Uloom, he is running a khanqah, whatever it may be. And it is famous, as it says, about Maududi, that he had a very, very big beard. But he always used to speak against the beard. He advocated against the beard. But he himself had a big beard. So he was questioned by the people, that you have a full length beard, and yet you are speaking against the beard, you are advocating against it. Then he said, that my beard is just to fool the Maulvis, so that the Maulvi can think that I am part of them. I am also in their group. I am also part of them. He had ulterior motives. So this is a very, very serious matter, that a person has a dini front. We got topi, dari, kurta, and we think that we are in deen, but dunya is our motive, and at the back of our head we've got some other intention, some hidden agenda. If a person's islah is not made, but outwardly a picture of deen is presented, then these are the first people who are going to be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Then Hazrat Wala said that anger is a disease that is very, very common. Hazrat is giving a few examples. From this we must try and understand what is the importance of Islam. So here Hazrat is giving another example. He says that anger is a disease which is very, very common amongst ordinary people and even amongst the learned. Anger is so terrible that it will lead a person to give his wife 3 talaqs. And anger comes about because of pride. A person only becomes angry upon somebody who he feels is inferior to him. So anger comes because of pride. So this person, he doesn't want to be humiliated in society. Now I've given my wife 3 talaqs. What are people going to say? What's going to happen? He doesn't want to tell his parents, his brothers, his sisters. He doesn't want to tell the family. What will the children now, 20, 25, 30 years old? They got children of their own. And in anger, he has given his wife 3 talaqs. Now, he will make his wife understand something. They are simple people, these women folk. She doesn't know the whatever the case may be. And they will carry on living. Now you will be living in a much greater sin. For it was only anger. Islah wasn't done. If Islah was done, then he would have realized that what I've done is something serious, and I'm going to be answerable for it in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would have accepted the decree of Sharia because Islah was done. But Islah was not done. He gave in anger, now he gave 3 talaqs. Now he issued 3 divorces, but he could not inform the people about the 3 divorces. He gives some other type of explanation to his wife. And women are simple-minded people. So he will live with her, with his wife now, in zina for the rest of his life. And this is the result because a person didn't do his Islah. And because he didn't do his Islah, he couldn't control his anger. And because he didn't control his anger, now he gave 3 talaqs. And because he gave 3 talaqs, now he's got to pass the rest of his life in zina. Because he's scared to be humiliated, disgraced in front of people. Islah wasn't made. If Islah was done, then the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have come to the fore. he would have acted upon the instruction of Sharia. Then Hazrat gives another example. He says that backbiting is worse than zina. This is also a result of having pride. That when we all feel that we are better than somebody else, now you will start talking about what he is doing. Why? You feel that I am very good. I don't do this. This person does such things. Now you start talking to others about it. That he does this and he does that and he does that. Because I am better than him. I don't do these things. So I am speaking about him. So ghibat also comes about because of pride. And this disease of pride will not be destroyed except by spending time in the company of the mashayikh. When you have handed yourself over to a sheikh, he will treat you accordingly and according to necessity. Then this pride will come out of a person. Then this pride will break. And generally, a murid, he will straighten the shoes of his sheikh, but he will not do this for anybody else. He will do it only for the sheikh. In this manner, some of his pride will be broken. This action, that we straighten the shoes of a sheikh or whoever, this is to take out that pride from us and to make our Islam. If a murid humbles himself, then this will cause that pride which is in him, it will cause that pride to break. And Hazrat then says, about 70 to 80 years ago, Hazrat Mullah Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali said, that a person can have a Darul Uloom with 5,000 students, but if it is not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it will have absolutely no value. On the other hand, if a person's got a Darul Uloom with only 5 students, but it is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this, which is only 5 students, is much more better than everything else. Today, the outward form is presented. Reading so much, nafal namaz. And one alim said so beautifully, that never in the history of Islam were there so many masajid. Never in the history of Islam were there so many darloom, so many khankas, the amount of leaflets, printed material, booklets. We don't know what to do with it at home. The shelves are getting full. Never in that. But how much of that has come into our hearts? How much of it are there we are practicing upon? So he said, today the outward form is presented, the numbers, the outward picture, but we don't think of the reality, the inner. And this is where Hazrat Allah started from, that our deen is based on two portions. One is the outward portion, and one is the inward portion. The outward portion we are very concerned about. We are reading our salah. One person came in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, read his salah. After that was leaving, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Then read your salah again because you haven't read. He went and repeated the salah. Came back, second time, same thing. Read your salah because you haven't read salah. Third time, same thing. And I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach me because this is the way I know. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Then read your salah, how you see me reading salah. So like we are worried of the outward, our actions, which we concern must be there. But more than that is our inner reformation. Reformation of the soul, reformation of the heart. A person that has tawfiq to think of death, as Rawala says, then he will fear when he's going to shout at his wife or at his children or admonish the worker or whatever. What if this action has to be an obstruction from iman at the time of death? That if I do something wrong, then at the time of mort, what if this becomes a barrier between me and my iman? Due to such thoughts, a person will be corrected. Hazrat Rawala says, gave the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That kafa bil mawti wa'idan aw mu'idan, that remembering death is sufficient as an admonition, admonishment. That if a person will think of death constantly, then this itself will rectify a person to a very, very great extent. It will suffice for one's islah. So islah and correction of oneself is extremely important and very of paramount importance. The most important limb that requires correction is the heart. As we had just read just now, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua, that ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deen. So the most important aspect is reformation of the heart, islah of the heart. Generally, many people are correct outwardly. We are reading our salah, everything. But much more important is the internal condition of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me first of all with tawfiq to practice on what I have read and said, thereafter everybody else.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني أذكركم. دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدان ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل ویسے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو جدر لا الہ إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعرہ مستانہ خوش میں آئے دم تا بچانا چنی میں بائے دم اللہ جن جنانو تارا شانو اللہ 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 الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والفعل والعمل والنية والهدي إنك على كل شيء قدير يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وعورة وذنب وخطيئة اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا وأهلنا ومن الماء البارد اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين